All right, good evening, Claire. I sure hope you enjoy your holidays and the ministers' conference, but I hope you enjoy the ministers' conference more than the holidays. But we got a new lesson today. We're going to begin this class in chapter 12 of your book, Those Whom God Apprehends as Delegated Authority. And we need to define that a little bit. Those whom God apprehends as delegated authority. We're going to show, attempt to make some clarification how delegated authority should respond, or some of the characteristics of delegated authority that must be developed by those who are in authority. There has to be a development. Also, there has to be some character created in you to qualify you to be a delegated authority. And we're going to use this lesson in the 8th chapter of Matthew to give us an idea of what type of mindset has to be established to be a delegated authority. One thing Brother Nee said in one of the previous lessons, he said, you cannot be in authority unless you've been under authority. But Matthew 8 and 9 give us a pretty good idea of how this process works and how you're supposed to function as a delegated authority after being under authority. It teaches you to submit and humble yourself. So if you turn with me to Matthew 8, we're going to look at this scripture here, but this centurion, we're going to begin at chapter 8, verse 5. Matthew chapter 8 and 5. Go ahead and turn with me in your Bible, and we're going to look at this and get a view of this centurion and just what type of mindset you have. So, Matthew 8, verse, began at verse 5, I said. And when Jesus was entering to Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And here's why. Now he recognized a quality or a qualification in Jesus that he definitely was a man in authority, because the scripture says he spoke as one in authority. And to see all these people following him, he realized that this man must be someone of worth, someone that's in authority, someone that has some commanding power. And that was Jesus functioning, a commanding power or commanding authority. And people that in authority recognizes that. All right? So Jesus made his mind up that he was going to come and heal him. But this man said something. The centurion said, and that's not what he said. He said, don't come under my roof. Just speak the word only. Just speak the command only. See, he recognized words that produces commanding power. So speak the word only, or speak the command only. Just command my servant to be healed, and my servant will be healed. So this man understand that was another realm of authority also. Well, and I'm calling it spiritual authority. And he said, for I am a man where? Under authority. You can't be over someone in authority unless you learn the lesson, the practical lesson of being under authority. See, That's why it's good to come up through the ranks. I hear Apostle talk sometimes of all the things he's done as he said he had to go with his pastor. He would go with his pastor and serve communion. He said sometimes he'd preach at every house he go to. And he learned to serve prior to being in an authority. And he tell other things he've done. People don't see the whole of the picture. Sometimes all you see is the one in authority, and you don't know the ranks they came through, like this centurion. He said, if I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I said to this man, go, and he go. The Lord showed me this. He said, the reason this centurion understood this thing so well, because when he was under authority, when his leader said, go, he went. And when he said, stay here, he stayed there. He knew how to follow orders. And so he knew when he trained his men that they were going to function likewise. He knew what the expectations were of being under authority. And sometimes people don't know what the expectation of them. Sometimes they have their own mind set of their level of obedience. And sometimes they'll obey when it's convenient to them, but in the military sense, there was no choice. You have to obey. And that's one thing about military people, they understand authority. Military people who have served in service of any branch, they're easily submitted to authority because they understand it. They understand authority and how it works. And they make good leaders. They make good leaders because they'll be just like this centurion here. And I said, this man go and he goeth, and to another come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he do it. Now, he had to respond the same way when his authority tells them. He said, but when my authority tell me, because I'm under authority, he said, when my authority tell me to go, I go. When my authority tell me to do this, I do this. And so it transcends authority. It's levels of authority. But each level has to be obeyed. All right? Now, so when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all Israel. He called that great faith. Great faith. I had to go there, Claire, so you can see the qualities that this centurion possessed. Now, a centurion meant he was over 100 men. I'm sure he didn't start off with 100 men. And I'm sure he started off where he was one of the 100 men. But through his ability to serve well, he got promoted well. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Serving well brings promotion. And authority recognize those who serve well. And those who submit well can be promoted without any. I won't use the word threat. I won't use the word threat because sometimes those, especially in the spiritual realm, they try to threaten the spiritual leaders. And so sometimes spiritual leaders are afraid to promote certain people because of their character is not trained well enough, or their understanding of authority is not enough to be able to trust them with authority. All right? That's another lesson by itself there. Maybe one day we'll get into it before this class is over. You see it? Because your spiritual leader is not going to trust you if you don't submit properly, if you don't do what you say do. I remember every time Apostle permit me to minister and he was traveling with Brother Hagin. He said, Ronnie, you got it. You got it this Sunday or this Wednesday. I would go to him and say, Sir, any particular thing you want me to teach? And after a period of time, he would tell me, I trust you, whatever the Lord leads you. But prior to that, it was a proven period. You just can't do what you want to do. You got to make sure that you're in divine order and you're in line in supporting what he's already been teaching. I never brought any new revelation in. I only spoke of supportive teaching, supporting the structure that he's already built as a wise master builder, as the apostolic government began to develop itself. I stood within the supportive role of teaching, always the subject along this line, how to upgird your spiritual leader. Never once was about my own revelation, my own thing, all right? And so it brings you to a place of trust with your spiritual leader. So I'm going on to say that this centurion truly was a man who knew authority. Today, even that God upholds the whole universe with his authority, so he joined his children together through that same authority. The same authority that God upholds the universe within Hebrews 1 and 3 is the same authority that God joined us together to be able to do the work of the kingdom together. And he upholds it with his authority because he's the authority, and so he allows delegations of authority to come within that realm to be able to do the work of the kingdom. And the only difference is from the elements obeying him, from the sun stand in the same position he placed it in, from upholding the principles that he's established. What am I talking about? He established the principle of seed time, harvest, you know, day is day, night, you know, season is season, summer is summer, winter is winter. I'm talking about those principles of his creation is under his authority, and they remain just as though he just created it. They still obey, it still obeys him as though it never changed its place since God put it there. The sun didn't decide to move here, and the moon said, I'm going to move there, and the earth decided to do its own thing. And so everything God created is upheld by the word of the power of his authority. I hope you understand what I'm saying, class. So the only difference with those whom they call to act as this governmental authority upon the earth, the only difference with that is we have a will. We're not like the sun, the moon. We're not like the seed in the ground and the harvest that comes up. No, we have a will, and that's what God has to confront with. Man's will and his willingness to obey. Matter of fact, the scripture says in Isaiah, if God says you only be willing and obedient. You see it? I call it willing obedient. He said you shall eat the good of the land. And so God has man under his authority, but man is not like the objects of the sun and the moon and the stars, which obey him without a rejective response. Hope you understand what I'm saying, class. You see, the sun has no choice but to obey, because it has no will of its own. That part of his creation has no will of its own. You see it? But God made us as another part of the creation a little higher than the sun and the moon and the earth and everything that's within that he made. He gave us a will of our own, ability to choose whether we're going to obey him or not. That's the miraculous thing about this authority and the submission. It has to be a willing submission. It has to be a love for God. It has to be a love for your authority that transcends anything else. Hope you understand what I'm saying, Claire. So obedience is built out of love for the Creator. All right? So he truly was a man who knew authority. Today, even as God upholds the whole universe with his authority, so he joins his children together through his authority. I told you the only difference we ever will. Spiritual connection is made through the same authority. Notice that statement. Spiritual connection. I'm talking about your spiritual connection in your submission to authority whom God has placed over you. That spiritual connection is under the same government or the same authority that God placed when he created the heaven and the earth. Because God is authority. And so we have to understand that. That this apostolic government, its purpose is to, as a delegate authority to God, to help maintain that spiritual order within the earth. Are you with me? Because God don't speak directly with every man. Although some think they have the authority to hear God for themselves. But when it comes to governmental authority, God always have a man that he can put his anointing and his authority upon, and they become a delegation of his authority, that and he give them a commanding word by his spirit. And that commanding word commands the will of God for whatever God is doing. Oh, help me. I hope you hear what I'm saying. It commands the will of God for whatever God is doing in the earth realm at that particular time. I call it commanding authority through governmental authority, through apostolic government, through men whom God has chosen to be authority. And therefore, wherever there's authority, there has to be submission. There's no such thing as authority without submission. God wouldn't do that. No, there always has to be someone to submit. All right. So if any one of God's children is independent, listen at me now. So if any one of God's children is independent and self-reliant, not subject to God's delegated authority, then that one can never accomplish the work of God on the earth. My goodness. That word saying again, Claire. I'm going to repeat that again. I want you to listen closer to what I'm saying, but stay connected. What we're talking about, this governmental authority that God has placed is on the same authority of God when he created the creation. When the same authority that upholds the universe is the same one that maintains his authority upon this earth concerning his will. But men never fully understood it, or understand it, rather. And that's why God and Jesus is delayed in his coming. You see, until Ephesians 4:11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And what that 12 verse says. With that 12 for, let's read that scripture. Let's look at it. Turn your Bible with me to Ephesians 4, verses, begin at verse 11. And something I need you to see here. Look at what it says, Glenn. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. You know, he gave these governmental authority for a reason. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. For the maturing of the saints. The saints need to be and have to be mature to be able to qualify to become authority under the delegate authority. See, in the LTMA, apostle got pastors, numerous pastors that have submitted themselves under the apostolic government, whom God had put him in charge in this area, in this season of time. And so they have to be a certain maturity within those pastors and those people that submitted to those pastors to understand and get mature enough to understand how apostolic government works and how it's all under God's authority. You see, this all hinges under God's authority. As Apostle Thompson gets order from God, he passes down the rank. That's why when he says something, he expects the people that God had placed under his delegated authority to follow and obey. Just like he said, we need to read the 8th chapter of Romans every day. Read every day. Trying to get something to us and in us that God wants in us, because God is trying to show us something in this season. God is trying to develop up in the spirit, because he said the 8th chapter of Romans is a spirit chapter. And it talks about the Holy Ghost and the leadings of the Holy Ghost. You see, and the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. All right? So I ain't got to the verse I want to get. Yeah. For the edifying of the body of Christ, I want to get that 13th verse. That's what I'm trying to get to. Till what? Till we all come into the unity of the faith. You see it? Till. He's given apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, the fivefold ministry, which is all under apostolic government. Till. That's why I said Jesus can't come back right now, till we all come into the unity of the faith. And this apostolic getting in place is a part of the full coming of Christ. Jesus is getting the church together. Jesus is getting the bride together as one, and it takes the apostolic to help bring the body of Christ together. We are many members, but what be one body. Now, let's go back. I just have to show you why until we come to the unity of the faith. That's one of the purposes of the apostolic government, to bring us into the unity of the faith. Are you with me? Are you with me, Claire? Now, each and every child of God must look for some authority to obey, so that he or she may be well coordinated with what God is doing. Now, that's another statement we need to look at. Each individual that's under delegated authority must look for some authority, because there's authority everywhere, to obey. I'm talking within the ranks of church government. Look for authority in every way, everywhere we go. We have to look for that authority to obey, so he or she may be well coordinated with what God is doing. You see, what God does, Claire, after he puts you under delegated authority, in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, the training from the fivefold ministry to cause the body of Christ to begin to mature. And as the body of Christ begin to mature, then there can be a coordinated action or flow with the body to be able to do the work of the ministry that God has ordered. You see, Apostle said he made a shift. He said that was a shifting in his ministry or in his apostolic calling during these meetings. He said God took him to another realm, another place. And see, you see, God is always moving, class. And with God always moving, God always giving us more information, not more information, I'm sorry, forgive me, more revelation for maturity. All these things are for maturity of the body of Christ, because we can't get in this coordinated effort what God is doing to be able to bring the plan and purpose of God into manifestation. It's not about us. It's about what God is doing in the earth realm, class. You got to understand that. It's not about you trying to get ahead spiritually. It's not about you just trying to get promoted because you want to get a higher rank in ministry, because you want God to use you more. No, you want God to use you where he wants you, where he wants to use you. Not where you, oh my goodness. I got to go to another chapter now. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. Sometimes people want to be used where they want to be used and don't know that God has already placed us in a body as he will. Now, I'm going off my lesson a little bit. 1 Corinthians 12. I got to find it. Give me a minute to find it. I want to stay around 23 or 24, maybe. Yeah. That is, I'm in the ballpark. Yep. Let's move down a little bit. See, this lesson here is further down the road in the class, because it's talking about the coordination of the body, but I got to go now because I don't know if I'm going to get there. And this is a good place to put this lesson in. See, I can't teach this lesson chapter by chapter, book by book. I got to follow the Holy Ghost when it comes to teaching this lesson. Now, I want you to look with me at that 15th verse. 1 Corinthians 12. Well, let's start at the 14th verse. Well, let's go to the 13th verse. You ready? Look at it with me, Claire. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into how many body? One body. See, this is but the body of Christ. Whether we be Jews or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, or have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but how many? But many members. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Now, let me stop here now. Let me stop here. You see what happened? What would happen then, and it still happened now? People don't want to really follow God the way God want them to follow, or flow the way he want us to flow, or orchestrate the flow. People or Christian want to do what they want to do. So he said, everybody can't be the eye. Everybody can't be the ears. Everybody can't be the pastor. Everybody can't be in the pulpit and preaching every Sunday. No. You see, so what God is saying that to Apostle Paul is that what he's about to say. You can't be what you want to be. You can't do what you want to do in ministry. Sometimes you got to be where they put you. See, your pastor might not go with what you say you called to do. Well, one man was being placed into the altar room. He said, "That ain't my calling. God ain't called me to go in the altar room." Yeah, but that's where they need you, in the altar room. to work. No, what I'm saying is you can't pick your place to work. You can't pick your place to sit. Wherever the apostle puts you or whatever your pastor places you, that's where you need to function because he gets his command from God. So don't try to put yourself in position. Don't make yourself the foot when you might be a hand. Don't make yourself a hand when you might be the toe. You see what I'm trying to say? Don't be what you want to be. That's where submission come in. That's where you say, whatever you want me, wherever you want me to be, you know? I know sometimes pastor will call me out and say, Ron, you busy? I say, no, sir, what you need me to do? I might have 10 things lined up. I would never tell him that. Because why? Because I place my servant before my own needs, my own will. And so when ministry, my family just had to understand. I'm not going to be around you all the time. I'm not going to be able to do what you want me to do because the Lord has called me to serve. And sometimes I got to be places that I can't be with my family all the time. And so the families have to mature. Your families have to mature. Teach them to come up to the level that when God call you to serve, sometimes he places you in places that might not be comfortable with the family. Might break some birthday dates. You see what I'm saying? You might be doing some things, playing with your family, and God call you off. You got to be mature, and your family be mature enough. You know, look, God called, I got to go do this. Apostle called me, or pastor called me. I need to go take care of this. I'll be right back, or I'll be back when I be back. And so that's the way you got to be able to roll. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Yeah, you place God first, and God will place you first. Are you with me, class? Hope you understand what I'm saying. Now, here's the verse I'm trying to get to. But now, in that 18th verse, now had the members set themselves, every one of them, in the body. No, that ain't what it say. The Bible says God has set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it had pleased him. That's what I've been trying to get to. God places you where he sees you need to be, where you seem fit unto him. You can't place yourself. No, you can't place yourself. God got to place you. And so back to the lesson plan. God does a coordinated work when it comes to submission and authority. And so you only can place yourself where God placed you. I'm going to read that statement again. Each and every child of God must look for some authority to obey so that he or she may be well coordinated with what God is doing. So if he placed you in the nursery department, you find out who's in authority in the nursery department and you submit yourself and you work there until God stay different. If he placed you in the parking lot to attend, so yeah, you might be thinking you have a calling on your life. Yeah, so what? He might want you to usher. So, yeah, but I'm a preacher. But that's not what God needs you right now. God needs you to put on a jacket that's with an usher tag on it and go usher. But you stuck with your calling. You say, no, I'm not going to go usher. Because God called me, I get a dream that God placed his hand on me and said, go preach the gospel. Yeah, but you may not say yet. He said, you need to usher a little while to get some spiritual training in you and get some maturity and get some understanding how this submission go. If you can't usher, you can't preach. If you can't work in the nursery, you can't preach. If you can't clean the toilet, you can't preach. I'm just trying to help us. We're trying to help us. I'm trying to help us because God placed us where he needs us to be. Now let me read this statement here. Sad to say, many have failed at this place. My goodness. Sad to say, many have failed at this place. What I'm talking about? Wanting to place themselves in places and position. When the pastor need them here, they want to be there. And so they get offended. Well, I'm going to find a ministry where I can preach when I want. I'm going to go find a ministry. And you miss the will of God for your life. And you'll never proceed, never go any higher because you failed the test way back here. I hope glad you hear what I'm saying. You'll never go to another level until you pass the test that you fail. And the more you fail it, the more you're going to get dragged behind. And God may never bring you to the place you want to use. I heard Brother Hagin say one time, and I understand it more than I did then. He said, some ministers live and die and never even enter into the first phase of ministry. I understand, because they don't want to do their own thing, and they don't want to be trained by nobody. They want to be submitted. They want to start off at the top. Look at me, look at me, look at me, come and see. But I want you to know that God places you as he will, not as you will, all right? And that's why people get offended, they rebel, they leave the ministry and go trying to find a church where they can do what they want to do, or pastor they just can and tell him what to do. How then can we obey if we do not know whom to obey? Isn't that something? You see, you might need to be obeying that parking lot leader. You see it? You might need to be obeying that parking lot leader, or you might be needing to obey that nursery work leader before you can do anything else. Yet in the church, there are many delegated authorities to whom we owe our submission. By submission to them, we submit to God. Oh, we don't understand that one. By submitting to those delegated authorities that are under the apostolic government, we are submitting to God's delegated authority. And unless he himself first knows how to be under authority, he cannot be one of God's delegated authority. So listen to this. No one, I'm going to close on this statement. No one can know how to exercise authority until his own rebellion has been dealt with. You've been a good class? And we're going to take up next time on the three requirements for delegated authority. If you see it in your book, go ahead and read it. And get with me, so when we talk about it, you'll be able to know exactly what we were saying. You've been a good class, and I'll see you next week.